Hello and welcome to the Commander's Quarters. I'm your host, Mitch. Glad to have you here. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about Commander on a budget. Today we have an episode of Commander's Two Cents. On episodes like these, I give you my own personal take on topics about the format in general and current news. This show and episodes like this one are possible thanks to viewers like you. If you're looking for an easy way to help support this show, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Also, hit that bell notification icon so you don't miss any new episodes. And while you're at it, subscribe and review our podcast as well. You can also go check out our playmats and other merchandise at thecommanderscourters.com. Another easy way to support this show is with our TCG player affiliate links. So whether you're buying a deck or individual cards, you can use this general link right here or one in the description. And the final way that you can support this show is by supporting us directly by becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, and I truly couldn't do this without all their support. Hey everyone, Mitch coming in from the Commander's Quarters studio. Welcome to the show. So, on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the best new cards from M21. Now when I say best, I'm kind of a combination of things. It's basically like cards that I think are going to see a lot of play in Commander, ones that might do some unique or interesting things or powerful things, and just some that are my favorite as well. So just my best picks, I guess, from M21. But yeah, basically I'm going to go through these cards one at a time. I'm going to touch on kind of what the card does, maybe a similar card or cards that can really work well at the card, and then commanders or types of decks that might want to use a card like that. Now, obviously, spoiler season for Jumpstart just ended as well. I'm going to do a separate video for Jumpstart cards too, so be on the lookout for that. But yeah, today I'm going to talk about M21 cards, so let's jump into it. So first up, there's Teferi's Ageless Insight. It's a legendary enchantment for 2 blue-blue. It says if you would draw a card except for the first one you draw in each of your draw steps, draw 2 cards instead. So this one seems like a powerhouse in Commander. I mean, drawing cards is an extremely powerful thing in Commander. Again, I always say drawing cards and ramp are probably the two most powerful things. Drawing cards is in essentially doubling up all of your draws except for the first one that you draw, you know, in your draw step. That's going to be a big effect. I mean, this can draw you an incredible amount of cards. It can just double up every single one of your card draws. And yeah, the amount of value that this can provide you throughout the game is well worth that 4 mana. This is legendary, so obviously you can't, you know, copy it or whatnot, but you're going to be getting enough value out of it anyways. The card that came immediately to mind first is pretty much kind of like a one-for-one with this card, at least part of it is. Alhemret's Archive, it's a legendary effect that costs 5. It says if you would gain life, you gain twice that much life instead. And if you would draw a card except for the first one you draw on each of your draw steps, you draw 2 cards instead. So yeah, this basically just is taking that second portion and just putting it on a blue enchantment, essentially. Now, Alhemret's Archive is a decently expensive card. I believe it was reprinted in Mystery Booster. Now it's around 13, 14 bucks. It used to be, I think, in the 20s before that reprint. But yeah, it's a card. Obviously, Alhemret's Archive can fit in a lot more decks because it's not restricted to blue decks. But there are plenty of blue decks, obviously, out there that want to draw cards. This can fit in a lot of decks. I think one that really stands out to me is a newer commander from, I believe, C20, Gavi Nest Warden. A 2/5 human shaman that costs 2 blue-red-white, and she has, you may pay 0 rather than pay the cycling cost of the first card you cycle each turn. Whenever you draw your second card, you turn create 2/2 red and white dinosaur cat creature token. So yeah, she's all about cycling cards. So yeah, essentially now, every single time you cycle a card, instead of drawing 1, you're drawing 2. Cycling is an inherently card advantage, because again, you're basically discarding a card to draw a card, so it's just more so like card selection, kind of. And you're just replacing the card, but now with Teferi's Ageless Insight in play, you are getting card advantage every single time you cycle, and Gavi helps you cycle for free. So yeah, I think that definitely finds a place in Gavi. Again, there's plenty of other decks that Teferi's Ageless Insight can make a huge impact on. So I pretty much, yeah, if you see kind of Alhemret's Archive being considered for a deck that's not a life gain deck, yeah, I would consider Teferi's Ageless Insight for that deck as well, most likely. Next up, we've got Garruk's Uprising. It's an enchantment for 2 and a green, and it says when Garruk's Uprising enters the battlefield, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, draw a card. Creatures you have control of trample, and whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So yeah, this one seems like a powerhouse for an uncommon enchantment. I mean, when it comes into play, it can essentially just replace itself by allowing you to draw a card, you know, in most circumstances. Again, if you're playing a deck that's got a lot of powerful creatures, you know, if you cast this, you know, chances are you might have a creature down there already that has power 4 or greater. Giving your creatures trample is, you know, is fantastic. It's a way to kind of help you finish out a game or help you get a lot of damage through. And so, yeah, just having that on a green enchantment is great. But then the best part of this enchantment is probably that whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So, yeah, that is an extremely potent effect, one that a lot of decks want. The card that this immediately reminded me of was Elemental Bond. It's an enchantment for a 2 and a green. It says whenever a creature with power 3 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So this one is, you know, slightly better when it comes to that aspect. Obviously, it has a lesser restriction with 3 instead of 4. Again, you pretty much, if you're playing a deck that's based around getting a lot of big creatures into play, you're going to have, you know, those creatures have 4 power or more, essentially. So yeah, you're basically drawing almost the exact same amount of cards as Elemental Bond. Plus, on top of that, again, it might replace itself when it comes into play, and it also gives your creatures trample. So, I mean, it might even be considered for many decks to be a strict upgrade for on Elemental Bond, but you're probably going to run both. Yeah, this can draw you an incredible amount of cards throughout the game. Obviously, one that this can work well with. It can work well with certain, you know, token decks or decks that create a lot of tokens that have power 4 or greater, because it does count non-token creatures, so keep that in mind. But one that I thought would be fun to bring up is Goreclaw, Tear of Khalsisma. A 4-3 bear that costs 3 and a green. Creature spells you cast with power 4 or greater cost 2 less to cast, and whenever Goreclaw, Tear of Khalsisma attacks, each creature you control with power 4 or greater gets +1/+1 and gains trample ton of turns. So yeah, this deck is just completely built around getting out a lot of creatures with power 4 or greater, so this can be a huge draw engine for that kind of deck. Yeah, so I think it'd be a fantastic one for that. Next up, we've got Liliana's Standard Bearer, a 3-1 zombie knight with flash that costs 2 and a black. When it enters the battlefield, draw X cards where X is the number of creatures that died under your control this turn. So this can be just a huge draw spell for 3 mana. I mean, 3-1 for 3 is not, you know, great in Commander, but, you know, that's not really what you're using this for. It's just kind of like a mass draw spell for 3 mana. There are plenty of decks out there looking to sacrifice a lot of creatures. And again, this does not say, I believe it does not say non-token. So again, you can count all those token creatures that you're sacrificing as well, which is huge. So yeah, you can just, you know, cast for 3 mana, you know, after maybe a board wipe happens, because, you know, it's got flash again, so you can just, you know, pretty much replace your entire board. Or if, you know, you're doing an aristocrat style deck, you can sacrifice your board, you can, you know, cast this, draw a ton more cards, cast more cards, that kind of thing. The card that actually this reminded me of is not, it doesn't draw you cards, and it's not a black card either. It's called Color of the Claw. It's a 2-2 elf that costs 2 and a green, it's got flash. When it enters the battlefield, put a 2-2 green bear creature token onto the battlefield for each non-token creature put into your graveyard from the battlefield this turn. Obviously, these work in different ways. Color of the Claw focuses on giving you creature tokens. Liliana's Standard Bearer draws you cards. But again, both are kind of that same, you know, 3 mana flash creature that when it comes into play, it counts the number of creatures that died. Call of the Claw is slightly worse when it comes to counting them, obviously because it doesn't count those token creatures, whereas Liliana's Standard Bearer does. But it's just kind of an interesting, you know, twist, different concept of that kind of card. So yeah, I think Liliana's Standard Bearer can draw you a ton of cards and can be a valuable card for a lot of decks. One that might consider be Prosh, Sky Raider of Kerr. Probably not a CDH version of Prosh, but a casual version could use it. A 5-5 dragon with flying that costs 3 black, red, green. Whenever you cast it, you create X, 0-1 red kobold creature tokens named Kobolds of Kerr Keep, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast Prosh. Sacrifice another creature, Prosh gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So basically, Prosh just makes a ton of kobolds, and then you can sacrifice those. The more times you cast Prosh, the more mana that you use to spend to cast Prosh, the more of those you get. So essentially, yeah, I mean, at the very least, you're going to be able to draw, you know, off of sacrificing, if you, you know, play it right, sacrificing, you know, those kobolds, you're going to be able to draw 6 off of your Standard Bearer. So that can be huge. The next card that I want to bring up is actually a pretty flavorful card, a very flavorful card, and that's Pursued Whale. An 8-8 whale that costs 5 blue-blue. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent creates a 1-1 red pirate creature token with this creature can't block. Creatures you control and creatures you control attack each combat fable. Spells your opponents cast, the target Pursued Whale costs 3 more to cast. This is just a very flavorful card. Yes, it's kind of like Moby Dick. And then, you know, Captain, I believe Ahab is the pursuer of Moby Dick. But yeah, each of your opponents essentially get, you know, a 1-1 that's going to force their creatures to attack, which is fantastic. And Pursued Whale also protects itself. You know, again, it costs 3 more to target it with anything, which is a lot. An 8-8 for 7 in blue is a pretty good amount as well. Angler Turtle is the card that this reminded me of the most. It's a 5-7 turtle with hexproof that costs 5 blue-blue, and it says creatures your opponents control attack each combat of fable. So obviously, as soon as, you know, that 1-1 dies, they don't have to keep attacking. I mean, obviously, you could just let the 1-1 through, or anyone else could let the 1-1 through so that they have to keep attacking with the Pursued Whale. But yeah, you get a bigger body with that whale than the Angler Turtle. Angler Turtle protects itself a little bit better because of that hexproof versus, you know, the additional 3, but it's still kind of a version of hexproof-ish. Again, decks that might want this one are decks that kind of want to incentivize attacks but not attacking you. So like a Pramacon Sky Rampart, a 1-1 wall with flying and defender that costs a blue, red, and white. When it enters the battlefield, you choose left or right, and each player may attack only the nearest opponent in the chosen direction, and planeswalker is controlled by that player. So basically, you're forcing players to either attack left or attack right. And so, yeah, you're kind of wanting to incentivize your opponents to attack each other and kind of deciding which opponents attack who. So, yeah, that, you know, being able to force them to do so, having a good, you know, big 8-8 blocker or 8-8 attacker out there is good as well. Let's go in a slightly different direction with my next one. This one's going to be one that I think can be a, not high-risk, high-reward play, but it's going to be very valuable for certain decks, and there are certain decks that really kind of can't take the risk to use it. Idol of Endurance is an artifact that costs 2 and a white. When it enters the battlefield, exile all creature cards with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard until Idol of Endurance leaves the battlefield. By paying 1 and a white and tapping it until end of turn, you may cast a creature spell from among the cards exiled with Idol of Endurance without paying its mana cost. So, this one is kind of like a, hey, I'm going to start recasting things out of my graveyard. But again, you are kind of taking like a decent risk when you kind of start off with it because you are exiling those cards first. So, you know, if you've got a ton of creatures in your graveyard that have a converted mana cost 3 or less, you're going to exile all those. But then if someone destroys your Idol of Endurance, you could just kind of lose all that value out of it. You're just, you know, those creatures are just gone forever. And yeah, you're not getting anything back out of it. It does cost mana to start getting those creatures back, but you can kind of save on mana. Again, you're exiling creatures with converted mana cost 3 or less, and you can, you know, just pay 2 essentially to cast those. So, I mean, you could save 1 each turn, which is good. But yeah, this also kind of allows you to kind of really kind of keep utilizing those creatures out of your graveyard, as well as kind of, you know, pass them at instant speed as well. You can do this on an opponent's turn, which is great. One that this kind of reminded me of, there aren't too many examples, but one that is somewhat similar is a new-ish card with Lurrus of the Dream Den, a 3-2 cat nightmare. It's got companion, but that's not really that relevant right now. costs 1 and Orzhov. It has lifelink. During each of your turns, you may cast 1 permanent spell with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard. So this allows you to directly cast, but that's on your turn. And it, essentially, again, it does have the restriction of mana of 2 or less versus 3 or less with Idol of Endurance. Just kind of an interesting kind of similar card that, you know, they're starting to make more of these. So it's just kind of, they could play well together. Actually, they probably couldn't because you'd be exiling those cards. But yeah, Tasa Karlov is a commander that you might want to consider with Idol of Endurance. It's a 2-4, or she's a 2-4 human advisor that costs 2 white black. If a creature dying causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers additional time. And creature tokens you control have vigilance and lifelink. If you don't have a lot of other reanimation kind of effects that you're really depending on in this kind of a deck, this could be a good repeatable one to kind of get back, you know, creature fodder, key sacrifice outlets, or, you know, kind of other key pieces that really help your engine go with this kind of a deck. So, yeah, an aristocrat style deck would probably work pretty well with Idol of Endurance. Next up, got a red card with Chandra's Incinerator. It's a 6-6 elemental that costs 5 and a red. It costs X less to cast for X to the total amount of non-combat damage dealt to your opponents this turn. And it's got trample. It says whenever a source you control deals damage to an opponent, non-combat damage to an opponent, Chandra's Incinerator deals that much damage to a creature or planeswalker that player controls. This thing can just be like an auto board wipe for some decks, it seems like, you know. Basically, you know, you've got, you know, your Chandra's Incinerator player, you deal a lot of damage to your opponents, and you can kind of just spread out that damage among their creatures as well. I mean, not spread it out, but kind of, you know, start pinging down their creatures as well. There's a specific deck that kind of popped up in my head. Let's go through a card or two that can really help with this first. Thermo Alchemist, those kinds of cards where you can tap and they ping your opponents, each opponent essentially, can really help you cast Chandra's Incinerator very quickly. It's a 0-3 human shaman that costs 1 and a red. You can tap it. It has a defender. You can tap it to deal 1 damage to each opponent. Whenever you cast instant sorcery, you untap it. So yeah, you can really just kind of essentially cast Chandra's Incinerator for nearly free pretty quickly in a deck that's kind of built around these. Again, it's basically just going to cost a red most of the time. And then you can just, again, start pinging down creatures. Rakdos, Lord of Riots was the one that came to mind right away. You're just looking to do a lot of damage to all your opponents. It's a 6-6 demon that costs black, black, red, red. You can't cast it unless an opponent lost life this turn. Flying Trample. Creature spells you cast cost once to cast for each one life your opponent's lost this turn. So you're just looking to deal a lot of damage out. And now Chandra's Incinerator kind of gives you, like, okay, you're dealing damage to your opponents, great. Now let's utilize that damage and take out their creatures too. So yeah, I think that can be a pretty effective spell in, or card in a lot of commander decks. Next up, another red spell, Unleash Fury. It's an instant that costs 1 in a red. It's actually uncommon, so it's very interesting to kind of see this new kind of card. It says double the power of target creature until end of turn. So double strike has definitely been a thing that's been around, as well as maybe putting, you know, double the counters on something. But just doubling power, I don't think we've really seen up until now. Nath of the Dire Hunt has that kind of ability that says, you know, at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may pay 2 in Gruul. If you do double target creature's power until end of turn, that creature must be blocked this combat fable. Basically, yeah, this kind of doubling power is something that we've now seen from M21 to Jumpstart. So this might be, you know, something that's here to stay, which could be really exciting because it kind of opens up like a different kind of strategy, but a different kind of way to really utilize creatures. Obviously, kind of any commander that has an absurd amount of power that you could kind of get to, maybe one that's got double strike as well. Like I think a Tarka World Render has six power and double strike essentially. So you just double its power and then that's a one shot kill. So that could fit in a deck like that. The one that immediately came to mind that was Zatahedron Grinder. 3/3 goblin ally that costs 3 and a red. Whenever you cast an instant sorcery spell that targets only Zatahedron Grinder, copy that spell for each other creature you control that spell could target. Each copy targets a different one of those creatures. So basically this says, yeah, in that kind of a deck, you're basically using just like cheap pump effects to pump, you know, a token army that you have essentially. And then this can just be kind of the big finisher piece of that as well. You get your creatures up to, you know, 7 power each. You cast this, now they're at 14. That's going to be a lot of damage coming through. The final card that I want to bring up is Double Vision. Yet another red card. A lot of good red cards in this set, I think. It's an enchantment that costs 3 red. It says, whenever you cast your first instant or sorcery spell each turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. I love kind of decks that cast just, you know, big instants and sorceries, you know, just big flashy spells for a lot of that are a lot of fun. The first card that this kind of reminded me of was Swarm Intelligence. It's an enchantment for 6 and a blue. It says, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. So this one applies to all. Double Vision only applies to the first one, but generally you're getting enough value out of that first one, or that's really the one that you care about casting. You're not really trying. I mean, a lot of decks do try to storm off with Storm Intelligence, I guess, but in a deck that's kind of more just focused on casting big flashy spells, Double Vision is going to pretty much do the exact same thing. It's going to be fantastic. You can get down earlier than Swarm Intelligence. Again, it only costs 5 versus 7. So like a Golos deck could really use this card. Take 3/5 Scout that costs 5. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for a land card. Put that card in the battlefield, tap and shuffle your library. Pay 2 in Warburg, exile the top 3 cards of your library, play them this turn without paying the mana cost. So yeah, essentially, you know, you hit, you know, your Double Vision off the top of your library with your Golos, you put it down, you know, you've got another big instant or sorcery that in there, then you cast that and you get 2 copies of that. And so essentially, again, each and every single turn, you know, getting a copy of your best instant or sorcery that you hit off the top with a deck like this could be a lot of fun. So yeah, I think there's a lot of really good cards in M21. Again, there's, I can't bring up every single card in M21 and kind of talk about them, but these are kind of my picks for the best ones, or ones that I think are going to see a lot of play, ones that I think can really help out certain decks, and some that are just really interesting. So yeah, let me know in the comments below what your thoughts on my picks are. What cards did I miss in your opinion? You know, what cards, you know, M21 were your favorites? So yeah, let me know in the comments below, and as always, thanks again and have a good one. And make sure you're following us on social media for more updates and sneak peeks on future episodes. Again, a huge thank you to my patrons who helped make this show possible. I truly couldn't do any of this without your support. If you want to support this channel directly, consider becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, including being able to vote on future Commanders for deck techs. There are even tiers where you get your own personalized deck tech dedicated to you. You can check out all the Patreon tiers and rewards at patreon.com/commandersquarters. If you haven't already, make sure that you like and subscribe to the channel. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about budget commander. So while you're at it, go ahead and check out some of our other types of episodes. And with that, I'm out of here. Thanks again, and have a good one.